In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We're continuing in our journey in the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're looking right now at verses 8 and 9. Let me just read that real quick. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, last time we were together, we talked about the significant role of the father and how he gives instructions. He is to be unhypocritical. He is to both deal with the positive and the negative. And now we come to the mother. Now, this is interesting. The father says, and I love this because do you see how the father supports the mother? The father has the back of the mother. And he goes on to say, do not forsake. In other words, don't abandon. Don't neglect to pay attention to. It's actually an idiomatic expression. Don't let the ground lie fallow. So in other words, do not forsake. Engage in your mother's teaching. And it says the law. Now, this is teaching tied to God's word and authority delegated to her. So, yes, the responsibility of the father in the home is to be the spiritual leader, but that is not done without the assistance and help of the mother. I think the best way to understand this beautifully is looking at the Trinity, right? You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father is the one who ultimately is the supreme authority, and he will then decree. And the Son will carry out those decrees faithfully, as will the Spirit. And no member in the Trinity is any less value than anyone else in the Trinity. They are all equal, but they do differ in function. So I could say it this way. The husband and the wife are equal in value, but they differ in function. Now, the mother's role is supporting leadership. She reveals an active role in shepherding the children in character and conduct as well. So men and women, both of you are to be engaged. No one can delegate it to the other where the other is not responsible. And it's interesting that wives are connected to church leadership. Now, you may panic when I say that, but let me explain. 1 Timothy 3:1. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. The responsibility is for the leadership to have godly wives who live godly and are examples of godliness, that they're faithful in all things as well. Now, this has generational impact. For example, consider Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, Mary. Each one of these women are part of the line of Christ. But you think of Rahab, who married a Jew, who gave birth to Boaz, who then married Ruth. Think of Ruth, who married, eventually David would be their descendants. Bathsheba would be given birth to Solomon. And then you have Mary, who is the mother of Jesus. Significant women in the line of Christ. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, and he's speaking to Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Timothy's father was a Greek. And from what all we can understand from the history, he wasn't a believer. But Timothy was saved. How? Through the faith of his grandmother and mother. So when the father was absent from the spiritual reality of Timothy, the grandmother and mother were not absent. They were engaged. And that resulted in leading Timothy to the Lord. Titus 2:3 says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not giving too much to wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, don't let the world take this passage and make a character out of it. Make it sound like this woman is stuck in a corner of a room, slaving herself to cooking food, cleaning the house, and carrying the children. That is not what this passage is all about. This is a beautiful passage that elevates the role of a woman to the significance that she can play in the life of her husband and her family. And these pictures of an older woman helping a younger woman shows the generational wisdom that an older woman who's godly can pass on to encourage. Because let's be honest, for you younger couples out there, you younger men and younger women who are early married, maybe 5 years or less, you probably have already experienced some difficulties as you learn to love one another in the Lord. And you need the wisdom of an older woman who says, listen, this is how you need to proceed in this situation. This is how you can love your husband and show him how to care for you better. This is how you can grow in these areas of your life and these struggles. Because these older women can be an ear and they can encourage the young women in those trials in every marriage that make marriage difficult. Because let's be honest, you take two people, put them together, sin is going to come out and it's going to hurt and it's going to be difficult. And you need help from the outside to protect the marriage and to shepherd it through those trials. So yes, the scriptures talk about the significant role of a woman, and it is an elevated role, and it has prominence in the scripture. And thank the Lord for the godly mothers and women in our lives, men and women, because where will we be without their wisdom and influence? Now, it goes on further. Solomon describes this blessing. It's a graceful wreath, which points to the head and health. And it talks about ornaments, which are typically placed around the neck, which is prosperity. Solomon is taking these images from the culture, graceful wreath and ornaments. And it's really pointing to the truth that, look, as a son, if you obey mom and dad, if you go the path of righteousness and put your faith in Christ and God and follow his word, you will be blessed. You will not have trouble as much. All right. Now, you're going to have trouble in the world because godly people get persecuted, but you're not going to bring upon yourself unnecessary troubles. Contrast that with Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them. In other words, he will not listen to them. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city. That's the leaders, the government, to the gate of his city. That's where judges sit. That's where decisions are made. That's where legal and commercial transactions take place. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone the son to death with stones. So you shall put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I can't think of a more tragic moment of two parents pleading with their son, pleading to quit the drinking and quit the gluttony and the disobedience and the rebellion, and begging and saying to their son, if you continue in this, we're going to have to turn you in to the authorities. And then that moment happens where they make that decision. And let me say, I don't doubt for a minute that there is many tears and prayers that preceded that moment. This is not two harsh parents. The picture is two loving parents who don't want to do this, but for the sake of the son and the community, they make this difficult choice and they bring their son to the authorities. The authorities look into the matter and they find the son guilty. And the law makes it very clear. And it's fascinating to note that who does the stoning? Not the mom and dad, but the authorities. Now, if you and I lived during this time, and some of you out here are listening to me, would probably be saying, man, if I was alive at that time, my parents would have had me stoned. Because I personally, I wasn't a glutton, but I was a drunkard. But glutton can be used more than just food. It's indulgence. That's the picture here. The son is indulging in sinful activities, and that is what's resulted in the consequences. So thank the Lord we're not under the old covenant, but that doesn't take away our responsibility to live rightly and to show the discipline to our kids they need to have. We call this today tough love. And if you're in a situation like this, I recommend talk to your pastor, get some good counsel, pray, fast, and plead. But if it's necessary, don't be afraid to bring consequences, because consequences are designed to change a person's behavior. My father, who was an unbeliever, would say to me, son, I punish you because I love you. You do not want the world to punish you because they don't love you. And it really showed me the wisdom of my father. Though he was an unbeliever, he understood that it's a whole lot easier to learn the lesson in the home than to learn the lesson in the world. There's additional thoughts for us to look at the church as a family. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. I just love that verb progression. Look at that. Be at peace. But there it is. Exhort, warn, comfort, uphold, and be patient through the whole process and all of this. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. Now, look at that expression. Pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. In other words, make sure your decision is equitable, as we saw early in Proverbs. The optimal outcome is the goal here. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then he closes the section, do not quench the spirit, because you need the spirit to do these things. And it's easy to become fleshly and respond wrongly. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. These instructions to the church are instructions for us as members of the body of Christ to live as the family of the body of Christ. And these principles don't just apply to one another. They apply to moms, dads, sons, daughters, each family, and every member of the church. The implication is, and I don't want to neglect this, we must separate biblical principles from personal preferences in your parenting. You may have been taught certain things as a child, and you want to carry on those traditions with your kids. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you must recognize what is a personal preference versus what's a biblical principle. And you need to teach those differences to your kids. Because if you don't, you can create problems. You can start to be legalistic. You can start putting expectations and guilting them in things that are about you and making you happy rather than making them pleasing the Lord and making the Lord happy. So our time is nearly up. The implication here is be sensitive to the Spirit. Set up your parenting for success. Leave room for failure. Know when, where, and what the appropriate consequences are. And always, always parent with a motivation of love and not anger. I'll close with this last verse. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Last question. How are you parenting and grandparenting? How's it going? And what changes and improvements could you make today to parent with more godly wisdom? I leave you with this challenge. Be willing to acknowledge your failures to your kids, even if years have gone by and they're now adults. It is never too late to seek reconciliation.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.